from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am Chris Clark, and as always, he is Ryan Tracy. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm keeping up. I'm trying to kind of get an idea of what all these ripple effects are going to come out. And folks, if you want the details about everything that's going on with the team, make sure you check out Chiefs Digest, where Matt's writing every day. Chris is over there as well. We'll have some new wrinkles for you this season too. And check out RGR Football if you would, because that's where all my videos go up. The Chiefs made a signing, and I just got a little bit in as I was editing yesterday, because we'd recorded before practice. And at practice, D'Anthony Thomas magically appeared out of the ether and decided to not only practice, but catch a nice ball for a touchdown and whatnot, as though he had never missed a beat. And that's really why he's the story of the day, because one little signing of a guy that has been a perennial backup really has ripple effects across this whole roster. What's your initial take on D'Anthony being back with the team?
Intriguing. I really don't know what to make of it. I think that at this point, you'd have to think that he's going to make the roster. They're going to bring him back at this point. They're going to have him playing, and he's going to be a special teams guy for them this year.
I think you said it exactly right. I think it's about special teams. I think this is a direct reaction to Marcus Kemp getting hurt and not being available, because you've seen Dat cover punts, kicks, et cetera. You've seen him do returns. He can do a little bit of everything.
You've seen him be a gunner, and that's a big deal.
Exactly. And that's what you haven't seen from Davis and Cody Thompson. And the two guys that we were like thinking were in the run there for that sixth wide receiver spot. And that's what it really comes down to. He can step in as though no time has gone on and be effective on special teams. In addition,
on offense and catch a touchdown mid practice for Patrick Mahomes. I mean,
it's like, oh, hey, 15, how are you? I know I'm wearing five now, but you know how I run. And it was like back in the groove. And I think it's kind of the theme of the week. Jeff Allen, the same way, he can step in with those pass protections and that run scheme and be proficient and help them. And I think D'Anthony gives Dave Tobe what he has to have, a replacement for Marcus Kemp, even though D'Anthony's so slight, it always makes me nervous when he's a gunner, but I'm just saying he can do the job. You can move some other people around. And what that means is I still feel like Pringle's a solid five, but this makes Dat the six. And whether you line them up at five or six or whatever, it means both Davis and Thompson are headed for the practice squad in my estimation. Am I wrong, or do you see something different?
I can't see any differently right now. We talked about it earlier in the preseason that it's DeMarcus Robinson, maybe possibly doesn't make the team, but at this point it looks like he's a lock to make the roster. Even though I still didn't see anything from him in the Pittsburgh game. So you hope that you see something from him, coming up against the 49ers. But yeah, at this point you would think that it's going to push Thompson and Davis out of a roster opportunity. And whether that's going to come back and bite them, who knows? I'm sure that they think that they can get both of those guys on the practice squad, and maybe they can. Although Thompson's been very efficient, is I guess the best word I would say, although he has been going up against third string guys when he's been getting most of his action.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it shifts your perception a little bit, because it looks real good when against ones it may not be that point. But it does give them a cushion to put them on the practice squad. I don't think anybody's going to steal them away and be able to develop them further while bolstering your special teams unit. I think that's really what this is about. But it also has an effect on the running back group, because Dak can line up there. He can definitely help Tremont Smith make that change from DB to, offensive utility guy, because on Wednesday he took snaps out at wide receiver too. So Smith is really looking like he may be Dak's replacement long term as the gadget guy that can line up in the backfield or take passes from the line of scrimmage.
Certainly possible. And it's nice to have a guy like Dat that already knows the offense. You can just plug him in and he's going to be able to take off right where he was. Obviously, that's what happened in practice. And it's funny because you see all the media members tweeting about it, and you just kind of sit there and chuckle and go, yeah, it sounds like that type of situation. And then you have another one on the offensive line when you bring in Jeff Allen, who, is going to basically take a spot from somebody that we thought was going to be there, that was going to be a young guy.
Absolutely. And I said this on the RGR football video here Wednesday morning. Go check that out on YouTube, folks. It's in the show notes. It really does, in my mind, give you the perennial backup, the guy that can play the swing inside and give you a lot of versatility. I don't expect Jeff Allen to start, But having that does bump down Allegretti and McKenzie, who I think now are 8 and 9 if they keep 9. The other thing that it does is allows you to have a little bit more flexibility, because we've seen Jeff Allen play tackle, not the greatest in my opinion. Same with Cam Irving, not the greatest. So what did they do? They moved Cam Irving in with the ones on Tuesday, and he practiced at left guard while Andrew Wiley took snaps at both the backup tackle positions. Now, Andy Reid in his presser said, you know, that this is just trying to promote versatility, and, you know, they've been kind of stuck in their roles all offseason. Well, you know, that also sends up a little bit of a red flag to me. We have to see what happens in this third preseason game.
We absolutely do. We have to see who plays where. What I will say, though, is bringing Allen back into the mix, you now are in a position where you don't even have to dress Allegretti or McKenzie at this point. If you keep both of them on the roster, that's a fantastic position for the Chiefs to be in offensively, because you have two guys in Irving and Allen that can play just about anywhere on the offensive line.
And that definitely helps and allows you some flexibility with other positions that you may want to dress. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. We will have more when we see them do what they do in the first half of preseason game number 3 against the 49ers, folks. So make sure you're prepped for that. We're going to have more for you tomorrow in pregame, as well as all the videos and stuff over at Chiefs Digest. So check that out. We'll take our break. We'll come back with Seth here in a minute. You fantasy players want to listen to Vinny Iyer on Locked On Fantasy Football. With his 20 years covering the game, don't listen to the same old stuff as everyone else. Listen to the best. Check out Locked On Fantasy Football.
It's a new season. Antonio Brown is on the Raiders, Le'Veon Bell's with the Jets, and Odell Beckham Jr. is in Cleveland. The one thing that hasn't changed, where I'm putting my money down on all the games. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. MyBookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sports book, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000 and only costs $100 to enter. All you gotta do is pick 5 NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why MyBookie is always the right play. You bet, you win, they pay. MyBookie has live in-game betting on every NFL game. They've got the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. So go to MyBookie and you get an up to $1,000 first deposit bonus. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. Bet, win, and get paid.
So today we're back. Of course, Seth has returned from The Athletic after we were in close proximity up in St. Joe, and I'm sure you're tired of talking to me, so welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back. And Ryan, I will never get tired of talking to you.
Oh, tell that to my wife, will you?
I'd like to think of us as closer than you and your wife, so.
Oh, that's cute. Sorry, Jess. Anyway, so for today, we'll get back to football. And you covered a couple of things since we left St. Joe, and we'll just kind of cover most of them here. And I get so many questions. I get so many people pointing fingers at me about Darwin Thompson that I think we need to go over that, because this is my take, and I don't know if you're close or far from this, but I like what he's shown. I think he's actually shown more explosiveness than I expected.
Yep.
But I still don't think there's any reason to even consider him a possibility to be a starter in this offense in year one.
How dare you? If I had a little more oomph in me, I would just pick up my stuff and leave. But I'm not going to, because I don't have that oomph.
No oomph left. Okay, fair enough.
I'm curious because, you know, right now it's like Darwin Thompson hype season right now, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Everyone is stoked about him. And I mean, after this last preseason game, it's obvious, even though he's being listed way down on the depth chart, when Reed didn't give him a touch or a snap in the second half of the game, it kind of becomes obvious that he's there in the pecking order. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, it's like, we don't want this guy to get hurt. But so I'm curious, because most people are like flipping out about him right now. So what don't you like about him? So that way I can mock and ridicule it.
Oh, that's great. Okay, perfect. It's exactly what I signed up for.
I thought you might have.
There's nothing that I don't like. Like, I'm glad that he seemed to play in pass block a lot better the second game than the first. I think that's a positive sign. But everything for me comes back to everything that he's done has been against backups. And I just don't buy that he's better than Damian Williams because he's done it against backups. Sure. And quite frankly, the vanilla nature of the offense in the preseason has over the years given us a tendency to kind of set lofty expectations for guys that look like they perform well in the preseason. And then they don't make anything of the regular season because it is still a transition. It is still a complicated offense. So I'm trying to use my experience in having been burned before in reading into this situation.
Well, see, and that's tough because I have taken on the role of hype man for like this whole rookie class, apparently, which is weird because I was kind of down on Thornhill and you were like, are you crazy? What's wrong with you? And now I'm like, I'm backpedaling faster than Thornhill in terms of my opinion, which is tough to do because Thornhill backpedals very, very quickly and is an excellent safety. So I'm sorry I said anything to the otherwise. Anyway.
Full circle, people. Full circle that was.
So the thing, I totally see where you're coming from with Thompson because right now, like you said, it's been against backups. The thing with him that I think has a lot of people kind of high on him is because you see the traits. You see that his lateral agility is excellent. His bounce through contact is excellent. His pass pro has been better than people thought, especially when they heard early on that that was a big problem with him. And so what they're seeing, especially when he comes on the field right after Carlos Hyde, he just looks so much more explosive. And I mean, it's just such a different gig. And when I wrote about him, you know, I noted a couple of carries that he had where when the middle's jammed up, he can bounce it outside. And not only does he have the lateral agility to find extra holes that maybe someone like Hyde wouldn't, but he's also shown, and I didn't expect this, the gear to reach the edge. He looks more explosive than he did during college, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, I agree. Explosive is exactly the word that I've been using because he is getting to that edge, but I think his long speed is where then he gets a little downshifted there because there's been a couple of times he's gotten to that edge and thought he was going to be able to turn it and cut up fielding and he got caught. I think that's one thing that brings me back to the Damian Williams discussion is because Damian Williams has better long speed. He is more of a home run hitter than Thompson can be because of their top end speed.
I would think so. Yeah. And Williams, I think showed that last year. I think Williams will be tough to unseat. On the flip side, Williams has never been the full time, bell cow running back for an entire season. And I don't think Thompson is necessarily built like a full time guy. And so this idea that maybe we could see a little bit more of a split than we've traditionally seen, I'm starting to maybe buy into it a little bit. Definitely not a 50-50 thing. I just don't see that happening. No. Andy Reid doesn't like doing that. Even when he did it for a little bit with Charcandrick West and Spencer Ware, whenever Ware was fully healthy, Ware got the lion's share of the carries and the snaps. So, but I can see him. I can see Reed. One thing that I've noticed they've been doing in the preseason, they've had more than a few two back sets. And I'm curious if they're going to start maybe moving into that a little bit, because one thing that would be great about getting both of them on the field is personnel wise, it'll probably drag another linebacker onto the field. And both of them are guys that you can split out into the slot or even onto the boundary. And there's maybe one or two linebackers in the league that are up for that task. So I'd love to see some of that.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you go back to, I think the only downside is that I'm still a Darryl fan and I like what he does. And I think he's shown enough in the league that he's not going to go anywhere either. I do expect it to be, your newfangled law firm of Williams and Thompson here as we go into the season. But Darryl's not a guy you're going to split out because I don't think he has the speed to be that much of a mismatch. But I do like having the quote unquote committee where Darryl's still part of it because between the tackles, I like what he does. They've gone to him in short yardage so far this preseason. So I still see a role for him as well. But my bigger question for you is, what do you need to see out of the running back group in this game three? And are there wrinkles in there with Dat coming back to the team as well as Tremont Smith?
I think Dat coming back to the team does not bode well for Smith. At least I would assume it doesn't. It seems like Reed is kind of intrigued by the stuff that they've got going on. But I mean, unless they plan on changing something up, I assume they will keep Dat at running back. Maybe they'll shift him to wide receiver again. He's been so back and forth during his time with the team. With Smith, it'll be interesting to see if that spells the beginning of the end for him. For me, when I look at DeAnthony Thomas, I just don't see that really moving the needle much in terms of the running back group. I think that's much more of they lost Kemp to injury. And we all know that special teams plays more of a role on the Chiefs' bottom of the roster than it does for other teams. And that's one reason why their special teams is consistently way better than everyone else's. And so
absolutely.
And I'm okay with it.
Yeah. And we should be, because it is a significant phase of the game. And I personally feel like Dat's return is more of a doomsday for Rashad Davis and Cody Thompson and guys that are trying to be that sixth receiver than it is for anybody on the running back group. But we'll see how it all shakes out. Cause like you said, he can play anywhere.
Right. Right. And he can be listed anywhere. And Cody Thompson is a guy I would really like to see stick around a little bit. You know, every year you've got receivers that people fall in love with. With him, when I've seen him targeted and I've seen him get catches, it hasn't just been, you know, he was open because the scheme required it. It's been, he looks like he can run some decent routes. He looks like he's got decent hands. He had that drop against Pittsburgh, which that was a tough one. He got nailed in the lower back as soon as he was catching the ball. That was tough. But overall, I mean, he's had sticky hands and I kind of like him. So they've got some tough decisions to make at the bottom of the roster. And obviously your boy Darryl, I mean, I don't really know. The one thing with him, if it's between him and Carlos Hyde, I'd pick Darryl Williams every time.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't know if it comes down to, do you want a power back or are you trying really to keep Tremont Smith? That's what I'm thinking might be going on in Andy's head. We'll see. But anyway, there are bigger fish to fry, folks. So it's not just all about the running backs. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about some other positions of need, quote unquote. The new Locked On NFL is on fire with new host Brian Peacock joining Matt Williamson for your daily national podcast on all things NFL. Check out Locked On NFL. So in your latest piece, and I want to know why you hate Mecole Hardman so much.
You know, I've become the hype man for this rookie class, which was not intentional. When they took Hardman and then the Hill thing kind of, you know, did the weird and wacky things it's done. It felt to me like, maybe a wasted pick, but you look at his film and there's something there. There's a lot of smoothness in how he runs and he's got good feet. And so I just wanted to kind of write about, everyone knows Mecole Hardman is fast. You know, people saw him take that little touch pass for a score the first game and they see, I mean, he's got that second gear. If you've been out to training camp, you see that there's Hill, then there's Hardman, then there's everyone else in terms of speed.
Yeah, even more so than Sammy. And Sammy's not a slow guy either.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sammy's a very fast receiver. Sammy's like normal dude fast. Whereas Hardman is just that notch above, and then Hill is obviously just that, like, there's only been a handful of guys in NFL history like him. What I wanted to focus on with this last piece was the fact that it's not just that Hardman's fast and physically talented. He's doing some of the little things right in terms of how he's running routes and how his footwork is, little things like that. And that touchdown against the Steelers was a good example, and that's why I pulled the, thanks to Nate Taylor, my colleague at The Athletic, a great Andy Reid quote talking about the fact that when he got pushed a little outside due to the type of coverage, he knew to, however you want to phrase it, bend it back or flatten out his route a little bit to where he could show color to the quarterback. And he seems to understand intuitively where he needs to be on the field more so than most young receivers. He doesn't just, you know, run straight. After he's had to make an adjustment, he adjusts back. And he did it a few other times in that game. And I also kind of wanted to highlight that he appears to, despite having really great deep speed, he also has quick feet. And those two things are not common together. Like Chris Conley, for example, can fly when he's at top speed, but his stop start was never very good. And so
Absolutely. It's
a rare combination. That's one of the things that makes Hill great. Now, again, he's not Hill. No one is. But I wanted to kind of point out he's doing some of these little things well. And much like when I wrote about Darwin Thompson, it seems like it's going to be tough to keep Hardman off the field if he's doing those little things well in conjunction with his physical talent.
I agree. And even on that touchdown pass, and this, I noticed it a couple other times as well, he has so much speed. I think the thing that he's really starting to do, and we can talk about all the throws that he doesn't run through, but on that touchdown pass in particular, as well as a couple others, I thought he did good at throttling his speed.
Right.
Because there was a triangle of defenders that Mahomes was trying to feed this through. And if he had run and just been a rookie trying to make an impact and just run straight through it at full speed, he runs right through that coverage.
Right.
And so being able to settle down a little bit and control your natural speed, I think is something that takes a little bit of doing. And it seems like he's on track with that too.
Absolutely. That varying speed is something that a lot of rookies seem to struggle with, whether it's at receiver or running back. You can't just run as fast as you can the whole time. You can, but it's not what's going to result in getting you open. That's why when you watch Travis Kelce run routes, he is not always sprinting because he understands there are some places where, you know, you talk about the triangle. You know, a lot of people say that football is a game of triangles in terms of coverage. And there's those times when you're in the middle of those triangles where you want to hold up. You want to slow down. Now, you don't want to stop completely unless that's what the route calls for, but you want to give your quarterback an extra second to see you. And that's so crucial, and it's got to be so tough to do because I'm not sure how much that can be coached. It's a feel thing. You just got to feel it. And he seems to have that. And so I don't know. It's a tall order getting on the field though with that pass catching group. People, you know, I understand people are up and down about DeMarcus Robinson, but the coaching staff generally has liked him. And so he's not going to be easy to just leapfrog, in my opinion. So it's just tough to imagine them keeping him off the field that much, though, with that speed.
Well, I have to agree with you. And, you know, two observations about him to this point, and mostly from the Pittsburgh takeaways. Very impressed that he, unlike he had to do in college, like you said, he's bending routes that aren't, you know, they're not straight lines. The other thing that he's doing out of cuts that are a little bit more dramatic rather than just kind of the corner post type stuff. He's lowering his center of gravity, which he didn't have to do in college very much
right. Because
he was on such long routes before.
Right.
I think that helps him, and I'm impressed by that because that does take a change in your basic structure of stemming your route.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that I am a little curious about, he seems to be taking still a few too many steps at the top of some of his stems in order to get into that cut, and I think that's going to come along.
Absolutely. That's something that I actually highlighted on just a quick in that he ran, how few steps that he took. But that's been the exception more than the norm. His route running still isn't great. I would say that it's better than you would expect from a dude that's only in his third year as a wide receiver. And that's where, especially when, you know, what he learned was corner. He's been a corner his whole life, basically. And so now shifting to wide receiver, the fact that he runs routes as well as he does now, especially coming from a place like Georgia where it's not like the wide receiver is not a glamorous position there. They've got two play calls to wide receivers, either a quick screen or a go. And so there's not a lot of route running involved there. And so he's farther along than I would have expected. And so I tried to highlight just a quick in where he wasted very few steps, and you see how fast his feet are. So the raw material is there. It's just a matter of how quickly can he put it together. And so far, for me at least, and we'll see how this plays out as the season goes along, he looks ahead of where I expected him to be. Now, maybe that's because my expectations for young players are lower than some people. But for me, that just makes me think, man, it sure would be great to get another player with 4.33 speed on the field.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I go back to what I saw on film before he was drafted, and it was those posts and corners that you saw him run so much, using his speed out of that. And that's why I'm fairly comfortable with him being on the field tomorrow, because especially out of the slot where he can't be pressed off the line, he's comfortable and he's shown that he can do that. And quite frankly, no offense, unless you're really trying to sit down in a zone, those routes don't change that much in the NFL. You have to be aware, but you're not changing what you're doing so much. The thing for me is I just want to see, like you said, that possibility because of what he has athletically.
I do think he can do, like you said, those end arounds, those little touch passes. But generally speaking, I think in a year or two, I think he's more of a traditional wide receiver type than Hill, because the league really hasn't seen many guys like Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I'm with you there. That is going to be an interesting evolution to watch. So about the wide receivers, I think we've covered that. We're running tight here. So big takeaways. It's the big game three we're going into. Obviously want to see the starters, but beyond that, what's some of the top things you're looking for?
I'm curious on what they decide to do with the offensive line. Them bringing back Jeff Allen, does that say, because Allen's a guy who can slide in at tackle in a pinch. Now, is it, do
in
you
a big pinch?
Yes. Well, do you want him there for multiple games? No. But I will say, I mean, he'll maul a few guys out there and he'll make them pay. And then, you know, what can you do if you're in a lot of trouble? But if they plan on having Irving backing up all five positions, they got to figure some stuff out, and they need to maybe figure out whether or not Wiley might be a guy that you would want to slide to backup tackle instead or something like that. And so I'm curious how those snaps continue to divvy out and if they continue to do that the same way.
Yeah, I am as well, because I think those guys can play similar roles. Like you said, they can flip between starting guard and backup tackle, both of them back and forth. I think Jeff Allen's presence gives you that interior guy. I don't want to see Jeff Allen at tackle. Sorry, Jeff. That's just the fact of it. At guard, I'm way more comfortable. But again, now you got three guys that you could put at left guard, but what are you going to do at tackle? So it's an interesting perspective, and I think it means a little bit less time, a little bit less opportunity for Khalil McKenzie, Allegretti. I don't know that you're going to end up keeping anybody else as the, you know, the up and comers.
Right. And I don't, I mean, Allegretti and McKenzie, I don't see either of them being able to back up tackle. Especially McKenzie. No. I mean, his body type is all wrong for it. Now, you know, Jeff Schwartz has been kind of coming down on people lately for this idea of certain body type being necessary. In terms of tackle versus guard, it's basically like, you know, blocking is blocking.
That's it for us today, folks. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Dude does not look like a tackle.
Feet or feet. Jeff can come down all he wants. You got to have the feet to play tackle.
Right. And so it's just going to be an interesting dynamic moving forward, because the Chiefs, they're oddly dependent. Now, Eric Fisher and Mitch Schwartz have generally been very reliable, available guys. But if either one of them gets hurt, that's an interesting scenario for the offense, because they depend on being able to leave their tackles without help quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens, especially with this change coming in the week before the game three. That's really intriguing. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. I know you are, folks. Let us know what you're looking for. Hit at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter. Give us your questions. You guys know where to find Seth at Real Minnesota Chiefs Fan on Twitter. And we'll be back next week to see what happens and see where we think it's going as we get ready for cutdowns this time next week. So, Seth, thanks for all your stuff. Everything is over at The Athletic, and your new one should be up?
Yep, you should be able to find it at theathletic.com. We're having a ball over there.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube. Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.